Welcome to East Meets West, episode 138. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
We are back in the Oakland location, our Oakland studios.
Yes, our remote Oakland office.
If it doesn't sound as rich and full and compressed, that's because we're not...
Rich, full, and compressed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that what compressed does? Makes you sound rich and full, even though you've compressed?
I want to sound like Barry White.
Don't we all? You were just saying before we started recording that maybe we'll give politics a rest this week.
I think I'm assuming, and I could be horribly mistaken, that people are kind of
I think some people are done with it.
Tired of it?
Well, the presidential election anyway. Yeah. Maybe not politics in general.
That's
true. You know, one thing I was realizing this week is nobody is talking about the most important race, actually, which is your local races.
Oh, I thought you meant the race to the moon.
You just said we're not going to talk about politics, and this is politics. But
Tom, there you go.
We were with the family yesterday, and I don't want to out the family member in question, but one of them was like, I didn't vote on the local candidates because I knew nothing about them. And I was like, well, those are the more important ones. I mean, voting for president, your vote goes in with millions and millions of others.
With their absentee ballot.
Ridiculous electoral college. See previous episodes for my views on that. You know, you get lost in whoever the majority in your state is. The local elections can make a difference, and the Congress is going to make more of a difference. So anyway, I guess the only reason I brought it up is to leave it there and say, folks, go research your local elections.
I know. Well, the thing is, you know, there's, at least in the San Francisco races, I was going through a lot of the propositions and stuff, and some of them are kind of confusing, even after researching. Like, so,
did you use Ballotpedia?
Oh no,
That is a fantastic resource that I just discovered when I was just looking for general research on one of the state propositions, and I ran across it. Ballotpedia, like it sounds, Ballotpedia. I think so. I think it's
like a nonprofit.
Let me look it up real quick. But yeah, it's a wiki. So, you know, you got your normal wiki warnings apply as far as, like, you might want to look at the history and see who changed it last. But it was pretty good at having, like, these are the arguments for, these are the arguments against, these are the people in support, these are the people
not. The biggest ones that concern me,
it's ballotpedia.org,
are the bond measures, because I want to know, like, what is this money that we...
Yeah, is the money worth it?
Yeah.
I mean, I have no problem with the government spending money on something
That
is
deem
going
worthwhile.
To give us a return of some sort.
Yeah,
that's a lot of people make that argument with the $700 billion bailout. They're like, well, we may end up making money off it, like we did in the '90s.
We may.
We can argue whether that's true or not. But if it were, then that's totally fine, right?
Like, for example, Proposition H, which is basically allowing...
That's a San Francisco one.
That's where they're going to basically try to buy out the local power utility.
Right.
So
almost everyone's in the city is against that one, right?
So, yeah. So,
well, it's national. It's socialism.
Well, the bigger issue is that you spend all that money and you're still not guaranteed. You know, I guess you can own the utilities, but you know, you still got to pay for the fuel to power them.
Well, city of Austin owned its utilities when I lived there, and there were a lot of advantages to that. I mean, and a lot of the problems in energy around Texas, the city of Austin does not have. Because it runs its own utility. It's still buying power from outside of Austin.
Yeah.
You know, but they have a lot more control on where that power comes from, what the rates are. And I liked it.
The issue, though, is in San Francisco, I mean, PG&E pretty much runs the entire, because it was given a monopoly by the state to do so.
Well, in the north, anyway. Cal Edison in the south.
There are a few different ones in the Central Valley, like MID, except they run water.
Are there any co-ops left in California? Cooperative electricity.
Well, there was, and this was SMUD, Sacramento Municipal Utility District.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a co-op, but it was very, at the time, and I don't know what the status is. This was like 10 years ago. Very forward-thinking in that they had multiple... generation sources for power. So they had biomass. Basically, they would burn garbage to generate electricity, but they also used hydro. So it wasn't one specific, you know, power base that supplied, you know, 50% to 80% of it. It was a mix. So
it was interesting. I was having another conversation with a family member about nuclear engineering, because there's a nuclear engineer in the family. Nuclear. And we were talking about how, in his opinion, reprocessed fuel is the only way that we're going to get out of the energy crisis, because it has to be nuclear. You can't get enough out of solar, wind, or drilling in the end to really get us out. It's got to be nuclear. And he's like, it's too dangerous otherwise.
And are you looking at me for a
response? No, you were just talking about energy.
I don't think
they're building any nuclear plants in California, or I don't think there's any plans.
They closed Diablo a while ago, and there's a couple in Southern California. I don't know if there's any left running in Northern California besides that small one. Well, they used to have Lawrence Livermore Labs used to do, still does, but they used to do a lot of active testing for the U.S. government on nuclear weapons and stuff, so I don't know if there's any nuclear stuff.
I'm sorry, are we boring you?
Yeah.
You were just yawning in the middle of your own sentence.
You're
Are you boring you?
No, just you, Tom, not everyone.
It's not the hour, it's the company.
It's just the company. No, I don't know in Northern California. I know there was a couple down in Southern California, but up here?
Now, got any more on energy, or shall we switch gears?
Yeah, we can switch, but you know, it's one of those things that I think your family members, right? I think all those can be realistic options to help supplement the power grid, but I don't think they in themselves will.
You need to do all of, he was saying you need to do all of them because every little bit helps, but that's not the thing that's going to get us. And what we need to really focus on is nuclear.
I mean, you know, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of energy uses unless we find a way to significantly cut the amount of energy we use on a daily basis.
Or, see, I guess the argument against it is clean coal. A lot of people say clean coal will be as good.
Coal is still rather an abundant resource. It's just burning it in a way that doesn't...
It's costly to burn clean coal.
Yes, it's
although there's a lot of really good systems, in theory, that can make it profitable. It's just that they're all in theory, none of them...
Well, and then the price of petroleum has also dropped again, so...
That's volatile. It's going to come back.
Yeah.
The thing about it with oil, though, is not the cost all the time. It's the amount that's left. Yeah. If the United States wants to be energy independent, they can go drill all that oil offshore. It's going to take about 10 years to get it out, and then we'll burn it up in 5, I think. And then what? You know, that's just...
Drill off Cuba?
Yeah, right. Well, that's when you start conquering more countries and drilling their oil.
You don't need to conquer. You just need to make sure that they have no access to their own resources.
I meant conquer in a modern sense. You know, not so crass as to go in with guns and take over their government. My goodness.
No, we outsource that.
And just take their oil.
You got to pay the people at the top and everything else falls.
Pretty much, yeah. I think you're right. Have you been reading Anathem?
I just started this week and I've only gotten like maybe 10 or 12 pages in.
We're about to finish it up and record the Sword and Laser podcast review of it tomorrow. Yeah, don't listen to that until you got through it. But I have to say just this much about it. It takes a while. It takes about 100 pages to really start snowballing, and then I got sucked in.
I think part of my problem is I keep reading the same pages because...
It's pretty dense, yeah.
It's not only that it's dense, it's because at the beginning of the foreword or the introduction, he says that, you know, there are many things in here that are meant for people to discover, to evaluate, and then, aha, this is what he's actually trying to say, you know, either metaphorically... with the characters or the situations you're in. So every time I'm reading, I'm trying to think, like, read it as an allegory for something, and I'm trying to, like, piece together. Okay, so what he's saying is dot, 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 dot. And I think part of the issue is that a lot of this stuff sounds very familiar, but it's not. So you're trying to, like, go rack your brain.
Right, so you're trying to figure out, like, there's a wiki that had just started when I was reading it that I'm sure is a lot more filled out now, where people are going through trying to show the equivalencies. Okay, when he talks about this guy's razor, it's not razor, but it's Occam's razor.
Yeah.
It, you know, that kind of stuff.
But it's like secular. Is that pronounced the like secular? Or is that, you're like, you know, mm-hmm. that. So, yeah, it's quite dense. And I'm working through it. Not like Josh, who can read it in a night.
Who's Josh? Oh, our friend back there finished it in an hour. Yeah, that's because he only read every 10th word.
I just read the period.
He only read the periods. You just read the punctuation. You get through real quick.
You read the book reviews.
Shall we? shall we take some comment?
Yes.
Commentary.
The four.
We have four comments posted on the episode, and four comments posted on the announcement that there would be no episode.
Excellent. That's six.
Cool B says, I have a 401k through work, but I also put a percentage of each paycheck into a do not touch savings account, as well as another part towards my investments. My investments.
I invest too.
That's so vague.
Lots
That's so
of
vague.
Mac
it's intriguing,
cheese.
Cool B. And with the way things are going, I'm glad I don't have all my retirement plans in one basket. At definition of diversifying right
yep.
there. So that sounds like a good plan, especially depending on what your savings account gets. Could
believe
be a real
me,
good
I've
plan.
Seen my four. I've seen my IRA. It got knocked quite a few pegs down. Kind of annoyed.
I'm sorry to hear that. Punter Joe says, I'm surprised there's only one comment. Thanks for bringing up the grasshopper and the ant. I've been talking to people about this for about last 6 months, and no one seems to remember that parable. Really? That is felt like that's like a super common
maybe for us.
Parable.
Hmm. I don't know.
Many of my reactionary coworkers are talking about taking their penalties and cashing out what's left in their 401ks while I still can, quote unquote. I try to calmly talk them off the ledge before eventually berating and browbeating them by daring them to show me how stupid they can actually be. For people who glaze over when the talk turns to economics, I try to remind them of the bank panic scene in It's a Wonderful Life. Sadly, this has proven to be the most successful argument. I'm no economist, but it just seems that too many powerful concerns have too much to lose by letting the system implode. I consider this less blind optimism than hopeful pragmatism. If we can ride out the turbulence, we will get through this. That, and I also suspect pessimism is a self-fulfilling belief system. Therefore, I refuse to believe the no-win scenario. Lastly, kudos to Tom on his starry-eyed idealism regarding term limits. Then again, I always vote on a throw-the-scoundrels-out platform, unless they give me a compelling reason for keeping their job. Naturally, this has yet to work. I concur with H.L. Mencken that in a democracy, people get the government they deserve. Sigh.
Sigh.
Do you vote yet?
No.
Are you going to vote early or are you going to go vote on the day?
Vote on the day.
I voted already.
I know. You did the absentee.
Oh, yeah. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah,
I know. There's sentimentality. Not that you're this way, but there are some people who are just like, oh, no, I like to go up in the day.
No, I was going to mail it out, but I missed the date.
Oh.
The form you have to mail in to get an absentee.
Oh, ballot. I see. To get it sent to you in the first place. Yeah, I have... Yeah, you can go downtown. This is local. I mean,
yeah.
Most people aren't going to care, but you can. There are plenty of ways to vote. Or there's actually
have to go three blocks.
There's
away.
An early voting website that will tell you where in your area you can vote early. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Vote early.
It's something really close to that.
VoteEarly.org.
I Twittered it a while back, so just go dig into twitter.com/acedetect.
You got to go through your Twitters?
There's no Vote Often website.
Vote Often? So after I vote, I should vote again?
Earlyvoting.net.
So what you're saying is I should vote multiple times?
You're not
in
Chicago, dude. You can't do that.
What are you trying to say?
It's an old joke. Remember
Chicago is so much
day?
More progressive that
they allow people to vote more than once. Yeah. Getting the government you deserve. Throw the scandals out. I voted for a total of four different parties.
I can't afford except one party, and that's going to be with the hats and the streamers.
Gotcha. Matthew says, just a quick note in regards to gold. The better commodity is platinum, as it is a nice-looking metal, but also is used in industry and is noted as one of the strategic metals that is required for a modern manufacturing of goods. Gold is not used in electronics anymore, and so its only value is the one that people assign it, as there is no inherent value in it, much like currency. In regards to stock markets, if you look at it from the 1950s to even now, it is the best performing mainstream investment vehicle. It is better than loans or property. Remember, this is all predicated on the notion that people will hold on to their investments for the long term and look at their gains not on a year-to-year perspective, but on a 3 to 5 year time frame. I don't understand why people panic if they're holding blue chip companies like GE or Toyota or Microsoft. Why are they panicking? Roger?
Because people like to panic. I think partly, and I mean, it's really hard. I think it's really hard. I'm not sure if it's generational, but I think it's really hard to look down past like the next 5 years, because you know, people. I firmly believe that a lot of people sometimes don't think or can't see beyond that, and so when they see something that has an immediacy to it, they're suddenly pitch white. It's like, well, what if I lose my job and then I won't have any money and I'm really going to be up the proverbial estuary without any means of locomotion.
I'm trying to look up the platinum. There, I can only find one platinum exchange trade fund. It's on London Stock Exchange.
London Stock Exchange. Didn't they all get laid off? Shouldn't they all be in a pub somewhere getting drunk?
76. It's almost exactly at the same amount as gold.
I don't know. I think the future investment will be in arable land. As human population increases, you need to grow the food.
That one thing about the saying, like, such and such outperforms such and such, and I'm not necessarily accusing you of anything here, Matthew, but...
I thought you meant me and the arable land bit.
You could say, like, well, stocks have outperformed this since the 1950s, but then you pick a different starting point, and like something else... I mean, because if you pick 2000 as a starting point, the stocks are almost flat. They went up, and then it came right back down. They didn't even go up that far. So you could pick 1995, and then you've got a
nice big
rise.
In other words, what you're saying is it's all relative, depending on your frame of reference.
Yeah, I mean, gold is actually a very practical, maybe not a strategic metal as platinum, but you say it has no inherent value. It definitely does have inherent valuable. It's a workable metal. It's still used in electronics in some cases.
Well, the thing is, gold by its nature is very soft, so it's easy. You can pound it into a lot of things. It's not very good structurally for orientation. However, in electronics, gold is, I think, gold and silver are preferred for contacts because they allow generally lower impedance levels for electricity. I'm not sure about platinum. Maybe platinum's up there too.
So, you know, he's right about platinum being a strategic metal and holding its value well. There's just no exchange trade fund in the U.S., and I'm having a hard time finding historical prices on platinum. But I think that is an interesting alternative to gold as far as, like, something solid.
Iron ore and copper.
Yeah. Not as pretty, though. The thing about gold and platinum is they can also be used as jewelry, and that helps boost their desirability.
There's copper jewelry.
Yeah, yes, you're right. And you can use iron as jewelry. They're just not as desirable as gold and platinum.
But you can forge a sword from iron.
Yes. Yes, you can. A gold sword, not very good.
No.
Doesn't hold up well.
Actually, brass, no.
Decorative.
No, not so good either.
Cliff says, hey guys, with the apparent dissatisfaction of conservatives with their candidate and the Republican Party in general, do you think the U.S. is ripe for a new conservative third party? With Obama picking up endorsements from conservatives like Colin Powell, Christopher Buckley, and the like, the environment seems ready for a serious third party challenge to develop for the next election. I've been of the opinion that any credible third party would need to build a base of support in Congress before convincing people to vote third for president. In trying to build such support, this new party would need champions to come forward to finance such a venture.
Is it Christopher Buckley, William F. Buckley's kid?
Yes.
I didn't think he was a conservative.
He is. He wrote a back page column for the National Review. He wrote a column for the National Review online, and he is a conservative. But
what am I thinking of then?
He just got fired. Well, he resigned from the National Review because he came out in favor of Obama on the Daily Beast, which is a different blog, and they got so much hate mail to the National Review because of that from their readership that he offered to resign if that would make things easier. And the National Review quickly accepted it. So he's most definitely a conservative. And if you read his article, his reasons for voting for Obama are not because he's so in love with Obama. It's just mostly because of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
And because he does respect Obama. He doesn't like the way John McCain has carried out his campaign. Kathleen Parker has had similar reservations about Sarah Palin. Now you've seen Colin Powell come out and endorse Obama.
The thing is, there might be, but I think it'd probably lean more as conservative in the libertarian sense other than...
I think there are two parties in the Republican Party. Yeah, there's probably more than two, and there's definitely more than one party within the Democratic Party as well.
Probably three or four.
There were talks of fears of a split in the Democratic Party in the past, back in like 68 and 72.
The issue is like, and I think a lot of people get wrapped up with the political labels, is that just because Democrats are labeled Democrats doesn't mean they'll vote exactly the same across all issues.
Well, and that's the problem with the American system, actually, is there are only two parties, and that's all there can be. It is almost impossible for a third party to gain any kind of foothold because of the advantages given to the other two parties. So all the people with different ideologies don't go form a party and then unify.
They stick to.
They go and they glom
like
onto
a,
whichever
like
one of
the
two existing
you get the
parties
north or south.
They're most similar with. And that's where you hear about the fundamentalist wing or the leftist wing.
Or you get like what they call the Reagan Democrats. Or,
yeah, right.
And it's just like.
The Obama Republicans.
So, I don't know. I really think political parties should just get the axe in this country.
Yeah, I really wish that was the case. I wish, I tell you what would make the Electoral College palatable to me. Here
spin
we are talking
bottle?
About politics. Yes, pretty much. Spin the bottle. No, if we actually took the spirit of the Electoral College, and instead of having a presidential campaign, we actually voted for electors. You voted for the people you thought most qualified to choose a president. And then those people actually got together and cast ballots for a president. So you're out there and you're like, you know who's really smart here in California? Arnold Schwarzenegger, or whoever you think is.
And then he becomes an elector.
And he becomes an elector and gets sent to the Electoral College, and then they caucus and choose a president.
Caucus.
I could actually get behind the Electoral College somewhat. That's kind of an interesting way of doing it, where you're just voting for smart people. And they don't have to campaign or run. You're just like, I want to pick the smartest people. It never work, because people will campaign, and then smart people will say,
well,
I don't want to campaign.
Well, you can't prevent a campaign. That's
so you have to, so that's why I think the Electoral College, another reason why it ought to go.
I think everyone gets together.
But then we need to unsolidify the party system.
And you form up into tribes. Each one sends out their champion, and they fight not only in a physical contest,
uh-huh,
but also in an intellectual contest. So it'll be a combination of like the Olympics and like
Jeopardy.
It's
like from Princess Bride. I was thinking more,
more
Princess Bride, where you have the chess game, you know.
Well, no, that's the thing, is it wouldn't just be all brains
or
all
brawn.
You
bested my giant.
It would be, you know, and then you would have to go on and run like a small business for like half a year.
You'd have to do like the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Dress up in a mask and pretend you're
there. I'd vote for him.
You would vote
Wesley.
For Wesley.
Wesley. Not Wesley Crusher. No offense, Will Wheaton. Talking about the character.
You know,
I've been
to his bungalow.
I know you have. You keep name dropping that one. You've been dining on that one for years, Chang.
Dining on that one? Wow. Me thinks there's a bit of hostility.
So there you go. Are we sending the audience the wrong message by reading all the comments the weeks that we get very few comments?
No, I think we're just saying that, you know, it'd be awesome if y'all replied more often and more with more gusto.
I tell you what I loved. I loved the week that the folks got in a like heated discussion in the comments.
Yes.
That was fun.
Because it proves that this show has life beyond us.
Subbrilliant.com/EMW if you would like to start a raging argument with Punter Joe or Matthew, Cool B, whoever you want.
We really need to do our eventual East Meets West, whatchamacallit, convention.
ArgueCon?
Yes. I like that name, ArgueCon.
How is that going to work?
How would we? What beverages would we serve? Would it be like Coke and Pepsi at the concession stand?
I don't know. Whatever we could agree to conserve.
Is it a 24-hour argument? That's what I would
want. No, it would not be a 24-hour. We actually had a bunch of rules that we drafted.
Oh, yeah.
Just verbally. Anyway.
I don't. We didn't do anything with them.
No.
Sorry, Cliff, by the way. I didn't mean to leave you out of the four people I wanted everyone to attack. So attack Cliff, too.
Yes. Now, is that Cliff's real name, or is that like...
If that's his real name. That's the first thing you can attack him about.
Yeah. I wonder if that's just a moniker.
And then
for,
say
like,
he pals around with terrorists, and he spends too much on clothing. And then,
what if he spends too much time on terrorists who spend a lot of money on clothing?
Ah.
Or clothing terrorists.
Now you've got an attack ad on
fashion terrorists.
Fashionistas. Kind of like Sandinistas, but for not fashion.
From New York and not Central America. Yeah.
They're being funded by the CIA right now to undermine the fashion industry.
Never know.
Stranger things have happened.
It's true. Actually, a lot of stranger.
All right, we're circling around here because we don't want to talk about politics again, but that seems to be the only thing going on in the world is politics.
Anything in science? Technology? Oh,
the piracy. There's the boat off the coast of Somalia that is full of tanks from Russia.
Ukraine.
That was bound for
from the Ukraine.
Was it from Ukraine?
It's Ukraine boat.
Why did the Econom... Or I guess it was the Chronicle today said Russian.
The Russians sent a cruiser.
A Russian cruiser, but it's Ukrainian tanks.
No. It's a Ukrainian ship with Ukrainian cargo, but the Russia Russia sent out a naval ship out there to keep
an
eye on.
No, but that's got tanks and military equipment. Now, whose equipment is that?
Formerly Soviet Union equipment that was still in Ukraine when...
So the equipment is also from Ukraine.
Yes.
Okay, so the article I read was mistaken then, because it said the boat was Ukrainian. It said the equipment was Russian. It was bound for Kenya, but the hilarious thing is the U.S. military, who have three naval warships surrounding this boat right now, and the pirates on the boat are all like, oh no, it wasn't going to Kenya. It was going to the Sudan.
What it turns out, and this is digger deep, I mean, this is partially politics, but not really, is that it's actually meant for the Sudanese rebel.
The Kenyans, who were the port of call, I believe, were saying, no, we're not sending it to the Sudanese rebels. It's ours. We ordered it. It's for us. And everybody else is like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
The pirates even, they're like, no, it's not. It's for the Sudanese rebels. Who are you trying to fool? Which would be, it looks bad for Kenya then, because not supposed to be doing that.
Well, it looks bad for the Ukraine because they went around an arms embargo.
Absolutely. So,
and they want to be part of NATO.
So there's that whole thing around it. But then the pirates are all just like, we are the Coast Guard of Somalia. Somalia has no government, so we are trying to protect our coast. That's why we seize these ships that are coming through unapproved. We're not pirates at all.
Except that we're holding them for ransom.
They had no idea there was war stuff. Well, they're trying to raise money.
Uh-huh.
They want ransom. That's all they want.
Because normally the Coast Guard come out with rocket launchers and heavy...
When they're properly funded, they don't need to. But these guys aren't, right?
Well, you know, they even said they were fishermen and that they were outfished of their... Which there's actually some... Yeah, I mean,
I think there's a lot of underlying truth to this.
No, though, there is a grain of truth. What the situation is... for anybody who follows, you know, the economics of fishing, a lot of the water is traditionally fished by European.
And there is no central government in Somalia to protect these fishermen when they are out trying to
It's not so much the fishermen, is that you have these large fleets of foreign vessels fishing in their waters, taking out the fish.
Yeah,
right?
I think there's something to it. The naval warships don't want to fire on the boat. You think, well, why don't they just fire on the boat and sink them?
Because, they still have 20 of the crew or 17 of the crew.
Well, they got 17 of the crew, and they also have all that military equipment on there, which could be very explosive.
The other thing is they have no – there's no legal – follow through. I mean, what do you do? I mean,
they don't want to sink the boat, essentially, and they don't want to kill the innocents of the crew.
But so far
so now they're trying to starve them out, I guess.
So far they've the company that they're, I guess, the holding company that owns the ship has raised $1 million of the $20 million ransom.
Well, and they keep lowering the pirates keep lowering the amount.
The thing is like, you know, I mean, if I were them, I'd do it. It's $1 million. I get out of there.
If you can get more.
Dude.
If you think you can get more.
You know what this is like? This is like if a small-time crook robbed the mafia.
You don't want to mess with the Ukraine.
You don't want to, because there's so many shady people involved in this. To be part of that and like say, you know, like you're a pickpocket and you went and you swiped like a mafia guy's like briefcase with all like these important documents in, that's kind of like, that's not good.
And just talking about it, I'm uncomfortable because I don't want to mess with those people either. So we're going to call it
there. Very shady. Very shady.
Next week, our election special. Because 2 days before the election.
I was going to say Halloween, but okay.
Oh, yeah. And Halloween, too.
Whatever. Pagan.
Whichever's scarier.
Pagan.
See you later.
Bye.